Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, a story over the weekend really caught my eye and caught my fancy. Nicolas Cage has blown $150 million on ridiculous purchases. And I felt as though we should hold a fantasy draft of all the ridiculous things that Nick Cage has purchased over the years. So I will give you the list, and you can decide what and where you would draft. It includes castles and pygmy skulls and dinosaur bones, octopuses, multiple octopus. So we can decide and draft fantasy style, since it's fantasy football time. What is the number one choice on his ledger of assets? Baker Mayfield telling GQ that the Giants drafting Daniel Jones, quote, blows his mind. Some people overthink it. That's where people go wrong. They forget you gotta win. That's what Baker Mayfield said. Either you have a history of winning and being that guy for your team, or you don't. Daniel Jones was sub 500 as a starter at Duke. Look, if you listened to yesterday's show, you heard me call out Mraz, aggressively so, for his over-the-top hype of Jones already. I mean, the New York media is calling Daniel Jones Danny Dimes. He's led two touchdown drives in two preseason games total. I'm sorry, I'm not getting crazy over two touchdown drives against backups. And the Bears didn't have any of their starting defensive players in, so please. I won't believe anything that I ever see in the preseason, ever. Every so often, okay, a guy flashes a little bit. Okay, that's good. Every so often, the first team unit goes down the field. Okay, that's pretty good. But overall, with how little starters play these days, there's less than ever to actually derive from watching preseason football. It's garbage. So I'm never going to get too high or too low on anything I see in the preseason, which is why I said about Jimmy Garoppolo. Does a 0.0 QBR yesterday look good? Of course not. Five interceptions and five throws in practice last week? Of course looks bad. But I'm not going to freak out, because I think at this point in time, again, he's coming back off of a year-long injury. You only get one drive, so his coach didn't even feel like he could put him back in there to have a second drive to kind of work off some of that rust. I mean, the odds that the one drive you play in after a year away in a preseason game where everything's just kind of sloppy is going to be pristine and clean is not going to happen. It's unrealistic. So I'm not worried. I do think Garoppolo has to get back to being a confident player. I think quarterbacks coming off of injuries, really any player, but certainly quarterbacks, they have to exude a confidence that everybody else picks up on. And Garoppolo, I think, is just lacking that right now because of how long he's been gone, and he hasn't had a huge body of work to be able to rely on. That, don't worry, it's going to be fine. But if he gets over the mental hurdle, I think he is going to be fine. And that brings us to Baker Mayfield. Look, I like the confidence that starting quarterbacks need. If you walked through CBS Sports Radio, if you walked through our hallways, you would know there was one guy that works here that was an NFL quarterback. There is one guy in this building that very obviously exudes confidence. Now, it helps that he's 6'4", and it helps that he's built like an NFL quarterback, but Boomer Esiason just is different. Can you put your finger on it? Look, he walks the halls, and it feels like he's calling you out. Hey, what's up? What's up? What's going on? How's your day? How's the show? Bingo. And he just walks through the halls and has this thing. And he hasn't been a starting quarterback in the NFL in 20 years, and you'll never not identify him as the one guy in the room that was an NFL starting quarterback. You got to have that. So I'm all for Baker having that, but I think you've got to draw the line when you're just actively taking shots at people and you're creating drama where there isn't anything. Do I relate to how Baker Mayfield looked at Hugh Jackson as almost, hey, you didn't believe in me? I guess. So he creates this thing where he throws the interception and stares him down and grabs his you-know-what. Okay, fine. But now we're getting into trashing a college quarterback at Texas because he played for the rival high school that you grew up. I mean, you know, this is now stupid. And now you're trashing Daniel Jones, who plays for a team not in your conference that has nothing to do with you at all. I mean, again, if you walked down the halls in Foxborough and saw Tom Brady, you'd know that's a dude. If you walked the halls in New Orleans, you'd see Drew Brees and say, that's a dude. Same thing in Pittsburgh with Big Ben. Same thing in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Same thing in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. How many of those guys unsolicited would take a shot at a rookie quarterback in the NFL that has nothing to do with him? How many of those guys would unsolicited say, oh my God, the Giants, they drafted such a bum. I mean, that was jaw-dropping. That guy's going to stink. He's not a winner. Blew my mind. I mean, they just wouldn't, because it doesn't help your bottom line of winning football games. And I just think that Baker takes himself out of that by creating things out of nowhere. You know, I hate to say it, but there's a little bit of a grow-up factor. Just grow up. There is no, you're already now an established starting quarterback in the NFL. The need to take a shot at a rookie quarterback that all he's doing, it wasn't his fault where he was drafted. Do I think the Giants might have overdrafted Daniel Jones? Yeah, but that's not Daniel Jones's fault. I mean, this just is, to me, a grow-up moment. I mean, just grow up. There's no reason to take a shot at a guy that hasn't even played a snap in the NFL yet. Number two, college football. Preseason top 25 is here. And guess who is at the top? We all know it's going to be Clemson and Alabama. That's at the top of every single poll. In the AP, Clemson's number one, Alabama's two. In the coaches' poll, Clemson's one, Alabama's two. In fact, the top 10 of the AP and the coaches' poll are all similar. They're all actually identical. Clemson, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU, Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas. That is your top 10. After the top 10 is where there's a little bit of differential between the AP and the coaches' poll. People might think that Clemson, Alabama is inevitable. I don't think so. I know they have met for the national championship here three times in 4 years. And I realize that it feels like once again they are loaded for bear and they've got two returning quarterbacks that should get them there. But I just don't believe that we are in for an inevitable college football season. Now, I definitely think that college football has an issue where it does not encourage the outsiders. And I wish it did. See, I wish that Oregon and Auburn got a bump for playing one another in week one. I wish that even with a loss, that the committee would say, you know what? Kudos to you guys. You took a risk. You didn't schedule an FCS team. You took a big risk, and it would be even better if it was on an opposing campus, but it's not. But we're going to reward you for that. I wish that's how it worked, but it doesn't. And with a four-team college football Final Four playoff, it doesn't allow for the party crashers because you need more seats at the table for more party crashers. I wish it did. I wish it did. It would be better if it did. It would be better if we were constantly rewarding difficult out-of-conference schedules. But I still don't think that that makes this season a quote-unquote inevitability. I think Clemson could absolutely go to the Carrier Dome and lose. I really do. I mean, a couple of years ago they did. Last year at home, granted Trevor Lawrence injured, but they almost lost to Syracuse again, and that's just a difficult place to play routinely when, even if Cuse is not good, but that's a tough place to play when they are good because it's 50,000 people on top of you in a closed-off dome that gets really loud and really hot because, ironically, there's no air conditioning in the Carrier Dome, which is named after an air conditioning company. It's just a tough place to play. I think that Clemson could lose there. I actually think that Alabama, as great as they have been, has a number of games that are kind of difficult. And I know that we kind of say this every single year, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Alabama beats LSU this year, that Alabama beats Texas A&M this year, that Alabama plays at Auburn in the Iron Bowl this year, that Alabama plays Georgia in the SEC title game, hypothetically, this year. I don't think those are foregone conclusions. And even so, Georgia's going to be really good. And let's say they make a college football playoff. I don't think it's inevitable that Clemson or Bama would automatically beat them in a playoff. I mean, look at Oklahoma. Oklahoma has now pumped out a couple of Heisman Trophy winners, and they've got a kid coming in that once again could do the very same thing. That offense at Oklahoma puts up crazy numbers, and, you know, who knows? Ohio State, again, they've got a first-year head coach in Ryan Day, but a lot of talent once again, and the mental upper hand on Michigan. Now, there's no excuses for the Wolverines not to have an it year. This really should be the year. They have basically rewritten the entire offense for Shea Patterson. They get to have the game against Ohio State at home in the Big House. It is a year where Ohio State is a first-year head coach and a transfer quarterback. I mean, this should be Michigan's year. If it's Michigan's year and they get to the postseason, get into a college football playoff, look, that's a fresh face. I don't think it's inevitable. I really don't. And I understand that the Clemson-Alabama thing feels like it's them and everybody else, and maybe that's the truth. But I'll put it this way. I don't think they're just going to waltz through their regular seasons and go unscathed. Now, Clemson a little bit easier because the ACC is much easier than the ACC. But overall, arching narrative, I don't think that these two teams just waltzed in the national championship game together. Although Clemson's regular season schedule, there's not many scares in there except for the at the Carrier Dome game. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a Trash Tuesday. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Ernie's in Tennessee listening on 640 to CBS Sports Radio. Ernie, who are you trashing?
I'm trashing the Goodwill stores. They get all this stuff for free. Then they want to sell it to you like it's new stuff and cheaper, I mean, higher than you could buy it at the dollar store or Walmart. And also, they throw away a third of what they get. There's only a percentage of it they sell, or else they sell it as scrap metal or whatever and still are helping somebody. And then they want to tell you how much they help people. And they're not a 501c company. They are a for-profit business. Explain that to me, D.A.
I could not explain that to you, but trash them. I did not think we'd get to a Trash Tuesday where we're trashing the Goodwill store. Boy, this is a heartless bunch here. Truly cutthroat business here on the DA Show. No compassion whatsoever. Robert's next up in Detroit, listening on 1270 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Robert. Who are you trashing?
First time caller. People in the post office with no patience. I was in the post office the other day. I stepped from the window to sign some papers. Somebody in line says, go to the end of the line. No, I'm going back to the clerk and enjoy my post office experience. That's what I'm trashing.
Trash up! A bad post office experience is hell on earth. I mean, the DMV's really bad. But man, I've been to some post offices here in New York City where you're just going, wow. These people are really scaring me right now.
and this line is really long, and nobody knows what they're doing, and they're sending everybody to different lines, and nobody knows what's going on. This is really terrifying. Really, truly terrifying. I once walked into a post office. I looked around, surveyed the scene, and like Peyton Manning immediately called an audible and just walked out. I said, it's not worth it. I'm just not going to do this. This is not, my life will not end today in this post office. I'm not going to die here. Nope. I'll live to see another day. When we return here on the DA Show, the Nick Cage Fantasy Draft. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
What we're doing.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. It's a Trash Tuesday, so send us your trashes and watch the show. Trash me or trash anybody at DA on CBS, and I'll read through those. Also, you can watch at watchda.com, available on any device, anywhere. College football season around the corner, and tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Join CBS Sports Network's team of experts as they tackle the hottest topics of the gridiron. It's Inside College Football, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. CBS Spectacular, yeah! Also, I will precede that on CBS Sports Network. I'm filling in for Time to Shine this week. I was on yesterday with Evan Washburn. We'll be again today as well. Evan handles sideline duties for the NFL on CBS. We'll be back at it at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Central, on CBS Sports Network on Time to Shine. I saw this story over the weekend, and I just had to talk about it. I had to, because it was a story that Nicolas Cage had blown $150 million on eccentric purchases. Now, look, if you were churning out 5 movies a year, most of which are direct-to-DVD or streaming services, you'd make a lot of money, and maybe you'd blow it too. I don't know if it's just being eccentric or you just don't have enough things in your life to spend money on, so you just got to find weird things. But I was looking at this list of these purchases, and I'm fascinated by whether other people would value them as much as he does or did. Here are some of the things. Here's actually a list of the things that Nicolas Cage blew $150 million on, okay? He apparently once owned 15 different residences. 15 different ones. 15. He owned or owns million-dollar mansions in 2 Newports, a $25 million waterfront home in Newport Beach, California, and a $15 million home in Newport, Rhode Island. So, you know, just all the Newports. He also has an $8.5 million home in Las Vegas. He also purchased a $3 million mansion in New Orleans, which is known as one of the most haunted houses in America. He also has purchased 2, not one, but 2 castles in Europe. One for $2 million, which is a steal. One for $10 million. He also bought a deserted island in the Bahamas for $3 million. He sprung for a 9-foot-tall burial tomb. He bought shrunken pygmy heads. He threw $500,000 at a Lamborghini from a Shah of Iran, and 150 grand on a pet octopus. He also spent 150 grand on the first ever Superman comic book and bought a $70 million year old dinosaur skull. So I was just wondering, you know, if we had a fantasy draft of all the eccentric items that Nicolas Cage purchased, what would go number one? Guys, cue the music. All right, so let's talk this through here, guys. Number one, would we automatically say that one of the million-dollar homes, multi-million-dollar homes, has to be number one? Like a $25 million home in Newport Beach, California, or a $10 million Castle. Does that have to be a number one there?
I don't think so, because I think you got to go Deserted Island on the Bahamas is number one.
Okay,
because,
now there's nothing on that island.
Yeah, but my
there's no home.
My assumption is you could figure out building a home there, but the idea that you have your own island on the Bahamas where people would vacation to and you could live there and nobody's there to bother you, to me, has to be number one.
Now, there's no Seamless that delivers there. Or there's no Domino's that delivers there.
You go fishing. You get a little fresh tilapia right at the Bahamian breeze.
Okay, so you feel like you could feed yourself living on a deserted Bahaman island.
And Nicolas Cage, if he was good enough to be in Castaway, he would already know that. He could be able to do that.
Okay, so is the $3 million deserted island the number one pick there for Nicolas Cage, Pete the Body Bilotti?
I'm going to go with the castle.
The castle?
Yes.
The $10 million castle or the $2 million castle?
The $10 million one, because obviously for...
you need the space.
Yeah. You need the space. And also, you may want to go in there and renovate a little bit. You may want to spruce it up, make it a little modern.
Okay.
But it's a castle.
It is a castle.
I mean, you never have the opportunity to own a castle.
Okay.
You may walk through one, but you never will own it.
Where would we put the Haunted Mansion of New Orleans? Is that a high pick because you're getting a mansion in New Orleans? Or is that a low pick because it's one of the haunted houses of America?
Why would you want anything haunted? Haunted will always come back. There's a reason it's called haunted.
So it's like a defense or a kicker.
Yes. I sell the Haunted Mansion right away and I take my losses. I can't put that high.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the Haunted Mansion. Pete?
Yeah, that's Mr. Irrelevant right there.
That's okay. That's the last pick of the draft.
Never want to touch that.
How do we feel about a dinosaur skull? Could that be number two? I mean, if you're taking the residences out of it and just items, are we going, is this interesting to have a huge dinosaur skull?
No, because you can walk into any museum and leave a donation to see a dinosaur skull. Why do I need one with me? I think you're burying, no pun intended, lead here, a burial tomb that's 9 feet tall. I mean, when you pass away, this is easy. You shove you in the tomb like you're Egyptian. And there you go. You mummify yourself. And then guess what? When you pass away, your family doesn't have to worry about anything. It's taking care of death early. They always say that to funeral homes.
But I don't understand why you need your tomb to be 9 feet tall. You're not going to be standing up in it.
To remind everybody how important I was. I'm Nicolas Cage, damn it. Or I'm Sean Mraz, damn it.
You're laying down in the tomb, and nobody can get in the tomb. So why does it have to be that tall?
Because I bet you could find some kind of sculptor, carve out some room for some family and friends. And
oh,
now you're
really?
Taking care of it. And then you plop it on property, and away you go.
Okay.
I mean, I just think death is very expensive. You might as well take care of everybody. I go that number two.
Is the 9-foot burial tomb, Andrew Bogus, the number two pick of the Nicolas Cage eccentric items fantasy draft?
I mean, it makes no sense. It's completely useless and morbid and everything. It's got to be way high on this list, no doubt.
I think the $500,000 on the Lamborghini of the Shah of Iran, that's a strong play high in the draft because it's not just a Lamborghini.
It would have been my number three because you could drive it and tell everybody what it is.
The Superman comic for $150,000?
Get a life.
That's a grow up.
A total grow up. Here's the other thing. You're burying another problem here. Who wants to own an octopus? That glass cracks wherever you keep it. It will kill you.
I don't think the octopus will kill you.
Have you seen an octopus's tentacles? It will suffocate you. It's like an anaconda of the sea.
And we know how well Sean has the ocean pegged, so believe him.
I don't really understand. Well, I guess I do understand having an octopus as a...
Do you?
Only because in a giant tank, when an octopus swims, it's way more interesting than when a fish swims. It looks really mystical.
After you look at that for 2 minutes, have you ever been to an aquarium? You're in and out of an aquarium in an hour because you see every exhibit for 2 minutes, you're done for the day. Why do you have to do that with an octopus full time?
I think the play here for Nicolas Cage is he's buying a lot of items that can be conversation pieces at house parties. I mean, he's inviting people over. Let's talk about the dinosaur skull. Let's talk about this octopus.
Put him on his haunted mansion. Have everybody get scared out of there.
Let's talk about the tomb.
Is he one of those pretend, like, academics? Like, does he want you to think that he's deep and smart and learned by having all of these things?
Well, I mean, the guy did find the lost Declaration of Independence.
That's,
that so
is
he
true.
Is a... He is an intellect.
You forget that's a documentary. It was so well done, but it actually was real life.
Also, he saved many other things through all these other movies.
And he's somehow not homeless, despite all of these purchases.
Think about how many
bad movies.
Think about how many bad movies you have to make to be able to blow $150 million on ridiculous things and still just have a fine
and
life.
And be fine.
Where do we stand on the shrunken pygmy heads?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Is a pygmy a real human or are these fake?
No, pygmies are like mini humans.
So these were real living heads at some time?
Yeah, yeah.
So you just want to carry death with you?
I don't know. Maybe they ward off the ghosts in the haunted mansion.
Oh, so this isn't like some guy sculpting a coconut and handed it to you. You're talking like these had brains in them and blood and everything?
Yes, pygmies are usually a race of indigenous people. No, that's pigment. That lived...
Close enough.
Lived in foreign exotic lands, and they were smaller people. They were pygmy people. They were smaller stature, probably like 2 or 3 feet tall, maybe 3 or 4 feet tall. And these are apparently their heads that are shrunken.
Huh. I don't... Why would you want that?
I don't know. I don't
know. Why don't you just build a bowling alley in a house and have some bowling balls? Why do you need the pygmy heads?
Bogish, where do you stand on $150,000 worth of comic book, the first ever Superman comic? Is that a grow up?
Yeah, and I'd say this about anybody with anything, like a sports memorabilia, you know, Babe Ruth's jersey. Like, I just don't get why you need to have that. Like, if it's any one of a kind, historic, I get it. But to assert, I mean, at some point, you're just burning money. And $150,000 for Superman number one. Is just not a thing I can do, sign up for.
Can we just go over, by the way, Nicolas Cage's remarkably productive last 3 years, 2016, 2017, 2018, his movie list. Now, you haven't heard of any of these, but he's pumping out movies. A Score to Settle, Between Worlds, 2-1-1 or 2-11. I'm assuming that this is a spinoff of...
2-2-7,
right? 2-2-7,
yeah. He's just down the block.
Ooh, Mary! Ooh, Nicolas Cage, Looking Glass, Mandy, Dark, The Humanity Bureau, Mom and Dad, Inconceivable, Vengeance, A Love Story, and Arsenal. Those are all of his movies in the last 3 years. I haven't heard of any of those.
No, were they straight to Netflix?
Probably, but when you work that much, I guess you can burn through your pygmy money.
Good for him and the pygmies, not me.
In 2016, he did Army of One, USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, Snowden, Dog Eat Dog, and The Trust. Again, he's made 20 movies that I've heard like one of. In the last 4 years, this guy's in an amazing role. He's basically playing the XFL.
Those National Treasure reruns, though, that's probably what he collects on. Those movies are on all the time.
Oh, my goodness. He's just dominating National Treasure. Repeats of Face Off, The Rock.
Con Air, though.
Con Air. He's
with
crushing
the bunny
those.
Back in the box.
Adaptation.
The last National Treasure movie is 2007.
That's amazing. He hasn't done a National Treasure in 12 years.
But it's a top 10 movie of all time, so that's what helps.
In what criteria?
Yeah, what list is that?
Like, as far as what you remember for, everybody will always remember where they were when they first saw the Declaration of Independence get stolen.
Sure.
It's like going into the Hall of Fame with 3 good years and a 35-year career.
Right.
Just longevity.
So basically, Nicolas Cage is Harold Baines.
Yes.
Okay.
Many years.
Or Pete Bellotti.
That's Hollywood. Right.
You are in a Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Man.
Nicolas Cage with the Hollywood Harold Baines. And that is your Nicolas Cage fantasy draft here on the DA Show. When we come back, let's read through your trashes. It's a Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
It's the great Phil Simms, Super Bowl champion and NFL analyst, of course.
I'm happy to be part of the NFL. I love the game. I love watching all the games. Of course, I can't predict games worth a crap, but I can tell you something about them.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
43 minutes past the hour. Sunday morning football returns. Week one of the NFL season. Every Sunday morning for 2 hours, I break down college football Saturday. Immediate reaction, and then preview the NFL Sunday. Season number 4 of Sunday Morning Football returns coming up here. Week 1 of the NFL season. We have shifted it 1 hour later so that the show runs into the national NFL pregame shows. So 10 until noon Eastern time. 10 until noon Eastern time, Sunday Morning Football. More trashes. Brian tweets, I'm trashing myself. I've been enjoying your show the last few months as a new listener, not realizing a few years ago I was cracking up at your commentary in NFL Films Top 10 and wondered where I could find more of this guy. Trash him.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
No lie, I was eating a gyro, actually a falafel, in the middle of the street last week. Okay, I was on the run. I had to grab some lunch. I grabbed a falafel. And I'm sitting there in the middle of the street. And, of course, it's like the messiest thing ever. I got sauce dripping down my face. I'm just trying to house it and get into the subway. And a guy stops me and goes, hey, who do you cover? And I'm like, well, I do. I talk about sports, but I don't really cover a team. He's like, oh, yeah. But you talk about sports, right? I go, yeah. He goes, what? So what? Where have I seen you? And it's always awkward. I'm like, well, maybe NFL Network, maybe CBS, maybe SNY here in New York. It's like, oh, yeah. Cool. So what do you think about the Jets? And I'm like, I think they could pretty good season. Yeah. He's like, oh, cool, man. Yeah. He's like, hey, can we get a picture? My son, he loves sports so much. I'm like, yeah, of course. Let's take a picture. And I said, now we're taking a selfie in the middle of the street. I've got tzatziki sauce dripping down my face. It's like 95 degrees. I'm just trying to get into the subway. Yeah, that's totally fine. Take it. Very humbling to be able to take a picture. Somebody recognizes me. And so finally, I had to say, well, my name's DA. What's your name? And he's like, oh, my name's Amir. I'm like, oh, nice to meet you. And he definitely didn't know my name. So I was taking a selfie with basically falafel hanging out of my mouth with a guy that had probably seen a glancing impression of me and really didn't know who I was. And I'm thinking to myself, you're taking a picture of somebody they don't even know. Like, you don't even really know who I am. How are you going to sell this to your son? Guess who I took a picture with, son? I don't know, but you should, right? I don't know who this guy is, but you kind of recognize him, right?
Look, son, I met Adam Schein.
I met Noah Eagle.
What an up-and-comer.
E tweets, I'm trashing the girl who flirts with you for like 15 days, then ghosts on you. Hashtag thanks for the free trial.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
Eminem tweets, I'm trashing you, DA. Mraz is the best singer ever, and his rendition of Gloria is the best. Hashtag praise Mraz.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Gloria. Gloria. Gloria.
Is it something that they said?
Call
all the voices in your head.
Call the cast now.
Colin Gloria.
Oh, God. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA, will Nick Cage play the Terminator or will that be LeBron? TJ tweets, I'm trashing people that go up to the drive-up ATMs and use them like they're in the bank with the teller. Get your $40 and be done for the day. Hashtag, I cleared it.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
It clears it.
So true. Just, you know your PIN. Get the money. Move along. Chris tweets, I'm trashing people who speed up as soon as you try to pass them. Learn how to drive, you inconsiderate bozos.
Stinky debris.
Luis in Palmdale tweets, hey, you dope Mraz. Nicolas Cage was not in Castaway. That was Tom Hanks.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
I said had he been good enough to be in Castaway, he would know that you could fish.
Lonnie tweets, Mraz, you dope. Nick Cage was not in Castaway. That was Tom Hanks. I'm trashing you. How's that NASA blood working out for you now? Hammer to the face.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Again, does anybody listen to the show?
I didn't say
he was in Castaway.
I might not have been listening either. I did not hear you even reference Castaway.
I said with the Bahamas Island, if he was good enough to be in Castaway, he'd know he could fish for his food. He was not. It was a slight at his acting.
So you think Tom Hanks knows how to fish way better than Nick Cage does?
They filmed that on an island. He was shooting the things through the fish. He figured it out.
Okay, so because of that, you definitely think he can fish?
Yes, okay. No doubt. All right. You think he didn't learn anything?
Daryl tweets, I'm trashing the whole home buying process. Mraz will agree. This whole thing is terribly stressful and too complex. finally get to close an hour house today. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
Howie near Boise. DA, I'm trashing all bathrooms that don't have wash sinks in every stall. How do I wash my belt and buttons on my pants if my hands are dirty enough to wash?
Beep, beep. Ugh. Sanitation just arrived.
Why are we washing belts and buttons on pants and sinks? Ugh. AZ and Wisco tweets, I'm trashing any journalist in Milwaukee that thinks Matt LaFleur has, quote, painted himself into a corner by not playing Aaron Rodgers yet in the preseason. It's week three of the preseason. How about we give the rookie coach till December before we start painting? Yeah, painting.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Well, I think we can criticize LaFleur before December, but not before Labor Day. I mean, who cares what happened at the preseason? Lonnie tweets, Happy Trash Tuesday, DA. I'm trashing my mom's friend for telling her not to get her heart stress test. Hey, Carol, mind your own business.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Yeah, Carol. Mind your own beeswax, man. Mom's supposed to get that stress test. James tweets, DH is an abomination. If you're too fat and slow to play the field, GTFO. When the DH was introduced, one of the arguments in favor of it was that the pitchers could throw more complete games. Now they don't even need to be lifted for a pinch hitter in close ones.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
So I do think it's fair in defense of DHs. I don't think every DH is just fat and slow. I think that's a bit of a painting with a broad stroke here. I mean, they might not be great defensively, but I don't think they're all just fat and slow. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And Mraz's trash was his neighbors being too nosy, and that led to it was just a whole Andrew Dice Clay thing.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You know what I've had enough of already? My nosy neighbors. Everybody now who are doing work on the house has to slow down because I'm on a corner of the stop sign and do the stare for 10 minutes, examining every part of me and everybody work with me. Well, you know, how about welcoming to the neighborhood? Whatever happened in the 1950s when somebody showed up, knocked at your door with a can of jam? I'm not getting those neighbors. I got the people showing up at the stop sign, looking at me like I'm some fat buffoon, wondering if I'm flipping a house, if I'm staying at the house. How about a simple, if you're going to stop and stare, I'm not a zoo exhibit. Roll down the window, say hello, introduce yourself. I'm Sean, nice to meet you. I'm in the neighborhood. Who are you? You Gary, you Gene? Great, where do you guys live?
Where's your jam?
How are the schools?
I'm 5'2".
I mean, geez, would it hurt somebody to send me a half tray of penny a la vodka maybe, say welcome to the neighborhood? No, I get these vicious stares. All my neighbors suck already. Get them out.
What's your name? Gary, Gene? Give me your can of jam now.
Knocked at your door with a can of jam.
I'm in the neighborhood over here.
Want some baked ziti, yo.
Hey, yo. Where's your can of jam, Gary?
Knocked at your door with a can of jam.
Gene, move along here. Are your neighbors really named Gary and Gene?
I don't know any of the names because nobody introduces themselves. They'll just stare at me like I'm the big humpback whale in the aquarium. Look at him go by there carrying the piece of sheetrock.
You're more beluga than humpback, actually.
Hey, don't you know how to be a good neighbor? Where's the can of jam?
Knocked at your door with a can of jam.
You look like a Gene. How are the schools around here? Where's your can of jam?
Where are the buses?
How's the postal route around here? When am I going to get my...
You got any of those convenience stores? Oh!
You guys dial the 311 or you just don't when you dig? What are you doing around here? You look like a Gary. Oh, where's my can of jam?
Oh!
Knocked at your door with a can of jam.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bring your cans of jam when you come see me over here, the king of the block, hey.
Knocked at your door with a can of jam.
A can of jam. I think jam's almost always in jars as well.
I don't think I've ever seen a can of jam.
Before we get out of here, I want to thank two listeners of the show, Carol and Richie Simpson from Lexington, Kentucky, because they bid on watching the show in person for the Dance Blue fundraiser in Lexington, Kentucky at University of Kentucky. My wife was a Kentucky grad. She helped begin Dance Blue, which raises money every year in an amazing effort to reach families that can't normally afford care for kids that have cancer. So it's raising money for pediatric cancer research and wellness and families. And it is such an amazing cause. And I love being part of it. And we offered this as an experience to bid on and to come watch the show. And they did so. And so their generosity is so appreciated with Dance Blue in the community and the University of Kentucky and the children in the state of Kentucky that can benefit from this and the families. And they took their time and their hard-earned money and took the trip here to New York City. So thanks so much for coming by and spending time with us. Very, very cool. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The DAW. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Bogush on your headlines. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, your executive producer, the Wizard of WatchDA.com. We will see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.